Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
All right, why don't you have a seat, and good morning. If you're a guest today, my name is Trey Kelly. I'm lead pastor here.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. I feel like I say this all the time, but that song we just sang about the goodness of God, I was reminded this morning, we sing that because we believe it, right? Those of us that call ourselves Christians and who, as the psalmist says, have tasted and seen that God's good, we feel his goodness and we want to sing about it. But one of the powers of gathering together weekly, one of the values of being in this space so that we can sing, is that in those moments, I don't know about you, you probably never have these moments, it's probably just me. Sometimes, because of the circumstances in my life, I don't always feel the goodness of God around me. Again, just me. I know it's just me. But I was really struck both hours this morning of the value of why we do this, because when we come in this room and we sing about God's goodness, it does some things. For those of us who know that is true but may not feel it in the moment, we're reminded of the goodness of God. And what happens, you may not know this, when we gather together and we sing, God's Holy Spirit joins us. He falls. And that Holy Spirit invites us in, again, to experience, to feel his goodness, despite our circumstances. So there's power. There's power in that, and I believe that power is going to do something in our lives today. I really do. I've already done this once, so I know. I know what God wants to share with you today. And it ultimately is that you'll leave here believing in the goodness of God. That he really is good. That he really does love you. And that he really does want the best for you. To get us started today, I want to put a phrase up on the screen. And I want you to raise your hand if you're familiar with the phrase, if you've ever used the phrase, if it's a part of your life experience, this phrase. My guess is it's going to be most of us. How many of you are familiar with the phrase, there's a light at the end of the tunnel? Both hours I get laughter when I ask that question. So they're like, boy, are we. If you're not familiar, it's a common phrase. It's a common idiom that we use. It's a metaphor, and it's pretty clear. If you were trapped in darkness, if you were stranded in a cave, if you had gotten lost, and out of the corner of your eye you were to notice a light, your heart would jump for joy. Because that light would indicate one of two things. It's either a person holding a flashlight or a torch coming to rescue you, or it's the light of the outside. And it means you're going to get out of the tunnel. That's what it means to talk about a light at the end of the tunnel. The way we use it normally is those little, small, daily moments that give us hope. The better days are ahead. For any of us who've ever had the amazing, joyous, wonderful, glorious privilege of raising a newborn, you remember that first morning that you rolled over and realized, I slept all night. The monitor is still plugged in. So logic tells me they slept all night. Oh, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe it's that email from the application you submitted to your dream job because you're toiling it away at a job you hate. and the email suggested that you schedule an interview. This might be it. Maybe it was a text message 2 days after the date suggesting another date. And your heart just flutters a little bit. Yes! There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe it was an appointment with your doctor. And he said, good news. The treatment's working. Yes. Maybe it's the calendar you look at. And you can see 2 more treatments till you can ring that bell. We all have these moments. We all have times where we're walking in darkness. And we just need a win. We just need some hope. We just need something to hold on to. And we call that something a light at the end of the tunnel. And I bring that up because I think it perfectly sets up where I believe our Heavenly Father wants to take us today as we continue our series, God is Love. A series where we're trying to truly dive in and settle the true character of our Creator. This is week 3, so if you've missed weeks 1 and 2, man, I'd highly encourage you, if you don't have it already, grab our app. It's a great way to stay connected with our church, but also you can go back and you can watch weeks 1 and 2. You can see where we've been. You can see what we've been talking about, because this series really revolves around a quote. It's a quote by a Christian theologian. His name's A.W. Tozer. It's a quote that I first heard probably 20 years ago, and it just rattles me, and it shakes me, and God uses it to change my life. And because God chose me to be the leader of this church, when something changes my life, we're going to talk about it in the church. That's just kind of how it works. And so the quote we've really been wrestling with for the last few weeks is this, because here's what Tozer says. He says, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. I've been talking about this for weeks, and I hope if you've been with our series for the last few weeks, it's starting to settle in your soul how important your picture of God really is. Because every single thing we do in life ultimately comes back to our picture of our Creator. Our faith in God is built on a picture. For some of us today, I'm so honored that you're here with us, but I know in a room like this, there's a chance you're here and you don't believe in God. There's a chance you're here because somebody invited you, somebody twisted your arm, somebody told you they'd buy you lunch afterwards, and that sounded good. And so you're going to endure for the next 27 minutes, and you're like, okay, then we can get out of here, because God is no interest to you whatsoever. But the value of this series is this. What if, just let me ask, what if the God you don't believe in isn't the God we believe in either? What if the God you don't believe in doesn't exist? What if the true Creator is far bigger and far better and far kinder and far more gracious and compassionate and loving than the picture you have in your head? Don't you at least want to know? Because here's the great news. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to guess who God is. For the last few weeks, we've been talking about a basic truth of Christianity, and it's this. We believe that Jesus perfectly and completely reveals everything we need to know about God. Every single thing we needed to know and understand and believe about God is perfectly and completely revealed in the life and teachings of Jesus. And the good news is we have a lot of material about Jesus. We have 4 biographies of Jesus' life. We have a history of his movement. We have training manuals written by his followers that not only teach us more about him, but teach us how to follow him. And if you were to take the totality of what we're told about Jesus and condense it into 3 simple statements about God. We talked about this last week. Here would be the 3 basic truths we all need to know about God. Number 1, God loves you. Totally and completely loves you. He's not mad at you. He's not frustrated by you. He's not irritated by you. He's not annoyed by you. He is patient. He thinks you're the best. So much so that the next truth, he desperately wants a relationship with you. You. Not just your friends, not just your kids, not just your spouse, not the people you feel like maybe deserve it. He wants a relationship with you because he loves you so very much. He wants a relationship with you built on trust, built on faith, built on confidence, a relationship where you are free to tell him everything, a relationship where you receive what he wants to offer, where you can choose to follow him. See, he loves you and wants a relationship with you because his ultimate goal is that he wants to guide you into the best life possible. Now, please hear me. He wants to guide you. He doesn't just love you from afar and cheer on all your choices and all your decisions. That's not who Jesus is. Jesus says, I love you so much, I want to help you make better decisions. I want to help you make the right decisions. I want to help you avoid landmines. That guilt, that shame, that pain, that regret that you wrestle with in your life, I want to help alleviate that because I want to walk you into a better life. That's who Jesus is, which means that's who God is. And I'll be honest, as the pastor of this church, I'll tell you very honestly, most of the time, that's my picture of God. Most of the time. Again, you guys probably don't struggle with this. This is probably just for me. But in my life, I find that when things don't go my way, when I don't get what I want, when I have tough circumstances, when things get shaken, when I feel betrayed, when I feel let down, when I fail at something, when I walk into a situation I'm not prepared for, just me, maybe not you, just me, those circumstances sometimes distort my view of God. And I begin to say things like, well, why'd you let this happen, God? This wasn't part of the deal, God. See, God, maybe you missed it. Maybe you missed what I did for you over the last few weeks, and I give God my resume as he needs it. And he's always like, yeah, that's nice, that's good. What's the problem? And then I have to admit, well, God, it's because sometimes, see, I think this picture of you, I think what that means is no pain for me. Isn't that the deal? And Jesus goes, buddy, I never promised you a pain-free life. I promised you wouldn't go through pain alone. I promised I'd help you find purpose in the pain. I promised I'd walk you through it. I never promised you wouldn't have it. In fact, our Heavenly Father would say, one of the reasons I sent Jesus, one of the very natures of him, was to be your source of hope in the pain. He says, I sent Jesus to be your light at the end of the tunnel. That's why during his 3-year ministry, he was constantly talking about light. And I miss this sometimes. I miss this because I get blinded by my own guilt or shame or regret or pain or frustration. And so if you've ever missed it, or maybe you are currently missing it, I'd love to take you straight to Jesus. Because he gives us a picture of who he is and what he wants to be in our lives when things don't go like we wanted them to go, when we are struggling, when we find ourselves in darkness. If you were here last week, we ended with the story of a woman who made a big mistake. She was committing adultery, and some religious leaders decided to use her as a prop in an effort to get Jesus. And so they essentially, like, caught her in the act and brought her, and they throw her at Jesus' feet. And their picture of God said she deserved to die. And they go to Jesus and they say, what do you say? I mean, we talked about this last week. Jesus changed everything. We say, well, number one, we can only judge her if we've never sinned. And everyone else left. He was the only one who never sinned. And this poor young girl, he says, do none of your accusers condemn you? And she said, no, Lord. And he said, neither do I. I don't condemn you. Then he says, but go and sin no more. We learned this last week. Our God will never condemn, but he constantly corrects. And it's into that exact moment I want us to return today. Because it'd be silly to believe that in that moment, Jesus was alone. There was a lot of commotion going on. The religious leaders were shouting. There was a young lady on the ground crying. A crowd had gathered because drama was afoot. They didn't have social media. This was their TikTok. If it was going to go viral, they had to see it and talk about it. And so there was a big crowd. And Jesus has just made this amazing statement. And it's as if he takes this opportunity to say, okay, I just helped this young lady. I need to explain to them why. I need to help change their picture of who God is. Because they don't get it. Because they thought I was going to condemn her. They weren't sure. And so, in verse 11, John 8, 11, he tells this young lady, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. He stands up. In the very next verse, he explains to everyone listening why he did that. Because I am the light of the world. He says, I am the light of the world. Now we hear that and we go, what does that mean? Well, sometimes light illuminates. Light makes things clear. And that's one of the roles Jesus wants to play in my life and your life. He wants to illuminate our paths. He wants to show us how to walk. We talked about this last week, but Jesus is the corrective lens for life. Now, depending on your church background, depending on your religious background, depending on your denominational background, depending on your church history, when I say Jesus is the light, when you hear him say, I am the light of the world, there's a chance you think of a spotlight. And Jesus is the one holding the spotlight. And he's searching out so that he can point out all your flaws, so that he can point out all your mistakes, so that he can say, ha, gotcha. Like you're the criminal trying to escape from prison. And the spotlight catches you up against the wall and you're like, what? It's very easy for you to have been taught that picture of God. That he's just out to catch you, just out to get you. But I'll just take you back to what just happened. Young lady caught in adultery. At no point are we told she didn't do it. Darkest moment in her life. Made more humiliating because it's public. And what does Jesus do in that moment? He meets her in her pain. He says, hey, I'm not going to condemn you for this. But if you let me help you, we can walk out of this together. See, he's announcing, I'm the light of the world. I, in whatever dark moment you're in, I am the light at the end of that tunnel. I am who you look for. Because I represent your Heavenly Father, and I came to love you. I came to sacrifice my life for you. I came to show you my power by defeating death and coming back to life. I am the light of the world. And I love the metaphor. Because if we are lost, if we are scared, when we see light, we move towards it. And that's exactly what Jesus says next. He says, I am the light of the world, but then he adds this, if you follow me. See, I say this all the time. Jesus is a gentleman. He waits to be invited. He does not take control of our life. He invites us to follow. But let's step back for a minute. Who wouldn't follow a light if they were in darkness? If you were in a cave and it was pitch black dark and you saw a light, who thinks, huh, that's nice, I'm going this way? None of us. Every single one of us in this room watching online, if we were lost, if we were scared, if we were walking in darkness and a light appeared, we'd move towards it as fast as we possibly could. So here's a question. If that's true in the physical world, why isn't it true in the spiritual world? Because let's be frank. Let's be honest with each other for a second. It's not. I don't know about you, but when I find myself in darkness, when I feel let down, when I feel betrayed, the last thing I want to do in that moment is run towards Jesus. I'll go the other way. Don't raise your hand, but can you relate? The tougher things get, the more we want to withdraw, the more we want to turn inward, the easier it is to blame instead of run towards. Look, you may not feel that way. It is very possible. Many of you are far better Christians than I am. But something occurred to me the other day that I want to share with you, because if that is true of you, if you do sometimes find it tough to turn to Jesus, to walk towards the light in the dark moments, I need you to hear me say something, because this is what the Holy Spirit revealed to me. If you find it difficult, please hear me. It's not your fault. If you find it tough to turn towards Jesus' light when you are walking in darkness, it's not your fault. You are simply responding to the picture of God you have in your head. You are walking and acting logically based on your current picture. Which is why, for the last few weeks and next week, we're going to encourage all of us to simply change the picture. Because when I have an accurate picture of who God is, and when you have an accurate picture of who God is, running towards Him when we need help is the most reasonable, rational, logical choice we've ever made. Because here's what He offers when we follow. He says, if you follow Me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. He's saying, when you're trapped, when you're in darkness, move towards Me. Walk towards Me, because you're walking into the light. See, the light clarifies what the darkness scares us with. Do you know, when you're in pitch black darkness, very innocent, normal things can feel horrifying? This is a 100% real life example that happened this morning. Was not in my notes, but worth sharing. Danielle gets up before I do on Sunday mornings, because I'm told it takes girls longer to get ready than guys. I don't really know. And our bedroom and bathroom has a door between it. She gets up and gets in the shower. I'm still in bed. Well, this morning I got up and our bedroom was still dark. The bathroom had the lights on. Doors were closed. She, because she's a loving wife and didn't know I was awake, turns the light off in the bathroom before walking out, because she didn't want to wake me up. She didn't want that light to hit my eyes. She was trying to care for me. Little did she know, I was already awake, standing on the other side of the door. Now hear me. It wasn't one of those, oh, I'm going to get her moments. It really wasn't. I just stood there quietly because I knew she was about to walk out. But she turns the lights off. Her eyes had been in light. Immediately in darkness, they haven't adjusted. She opens the door and stands there. I thought she saw me. She did not. Because when her eyes adjusted enough to see me, she went, ah!
Hi, I'm Trey. 20 years. We've been married. I live right here.
Darkness can convince us that people who love us are the enemy. Darkness can convince us that someone who's trying to help wants to harm. And so the value of moving towards Jesus is we move into the light. Our circumstances are illuminated. He begins to reveal that thing you're horrified about. You don't need to be. It's not that big a deal. Yeah, that thing you just ran into that you think's an obstacle, it's your couch. It's dark. And not only does he illuminate what's around us, it's the light that leads to life. He says, hey, now that we have a lay of the land, now that we see what's actually going on, now that you have perspective, now that you know what's really dangerous, what's not, now that you see that, take my hand and let's walk through this together. I'm not going anywhere. If you stick with me, you'll have the light, you'll see what's actually going on, and we will move towards life. But Wellspring, we only run towards the light when we believe the light is good. We only run towards the light when we have an accurate picture of the light. When we believe what we've been saying about God, we believe that he loves you, that he wants a relationship with you, and that he wants to guide you into the best life possible. It's only then that we step. So if you've struggled stepping, I get it. It's because the picture's wrong. Our prayer today and the choice we have before us is to accept the better picture. Is to believe, yeah, that's who Jesus is. Is to believe when we are struggling, when we are in darkness, we can hold tight to this truth that Jesus gives hope by guiding us to help. It's not just hope of, oh, I'm Jesus, which that would be enough. But it's, hey, come to me, let me illuminate, and let me show you where to go. Hey, that struggle you have, you know what? We've got a community group. And if you get in that and you can share and they can share back, you can begin to discover the path to help. We just finished a series on the value of seeking out help. And maybe the path Jesus needs to lead you to is some professional counseling, because the reason you're walking in darkness is because someone in your life has been sinning against you for a really long time and your body was not made to endure sin. And sometimes it takes a professional for us to be able to bring that to the light and let Jesus heal it. So then we can go and walk in fullness. I will confess, I don't know what darkness you're living in. I don't. I can guess. In a room this size, I can assume some of you have been betrayed and you're afraid to trust. In a room this size, some of you have been the betrayer and you feel guilty. In a room like this, some of you, if circumstances just didn't work out like you wanted them to, be it with a business or financial or health. And because your picture of God is maybe of this disinterested God, this unloving God, this God who is out to get us, it never once occurred to you to run to him. But now that you know who he really is, now that you know he's the light at the end of the tunnel, now that you know he wants to give help by guiding you, he wants to give hope by guiding you to help. The question is, do you want to step now? For some of you, that would mean making a change at home or making a change at work or in our church, stepping into community, allowing us to help. Because please hear me, as your church, we're not Jesus, but we are called to be his physical representation on the earth. We are his hands and his feet. And so one of the ways we turn to Jesus when we need help is we turn to his church. And we say, hey, I need help. And the great thing about a church our size, there is nothing you could be currently experiencing that we don't have someone in our church who's on the other side of it, who God's led through. And we get to connect you. And we get to point you to resources for help. And we get to be a source of hope. I know some of you drug yourself in here this morning. You want to be here because you're mad at God. Because in your mind, the picture you have of him is one who kept score. Little did you know that today he was going to begin to change that picture, to reveal who he really is and reveal how he really feels, to give you that thing you haven't had in a long time, hope. And it's not false hope, it's hope built on a Savior who can guide us to help. So whatever step it is you need to take today, I'm going to pray you have the courage to take it. And I know for some of us in the room, it might be the very first step. It could be that you've never believed in God because the God you thought about was mean and judgmental and used people as props and cared only about winning. That's not who God is. God loved you so much, he lost. He sacrificed. He gave everything to connect with you. And he came back to life to prove you could trust him. And so what I'd love to do right now is, if you are in the room and watching online and you would say, I didn't believe in the God I thought about walking in, but this new God, this loving God, this God that wants to guide me into a better life, I'm interested in him. I'd like to follow him. Then I want to give you a chance to do that right now. I'd love to invite everyone to simply bow their heads, close their eyes. And if today you would like to begin a relationship with Jesus, with the perfect representation of God, I'm going to pray a prayer out loud, and you just simply pray this prayer in your hearts after me. Say, Jesus, I need you. I am walking in darkness, and I need hope, and I need help. Jesus, I admit that I have run from you. I admit that I've done things my own way, and I admit that I've sinned, and I've got the scars to show it. But Jesus, I believe that you came to earth for me, you lived a sinless life, and then you allowed yourself to be punished in my place on the cross, only to 3 days later come back to life as proof of your power and proof that I could live a new life as well. So Jesus, right now I commit my life to you. I will walk towards you, and I'll follow you wherever you lead. I want you to keep your heads bowed for a moment, keep your eyes closed. But if you just pray that prayer with us, we really do believe something supernatural just happened, and as your church, it's our privilege to walk with you, hopefully for the rest of your life, as you choose to follow Jesus. And I'll go ahead and tell you, it's not a one-time thing. It's a series of steps, a series of following. And we like to give you an opportunity to take one step right off the bat. One of the things Jesus asks us to do is to go public when we place our faith in him. And we like to give people the chance to do that in a very private way. In a moment, I'm going to count to three, and when I do, if you prayed that prayer with me, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand and keep it raised. And in your mind, I want you to picture it's the first time you are reaching up and reaching out to your Heavenly Father for help. It's a proclamation of a life that's going to be lived following Him. Ready? One, two, three. Just go ahead and shoot them up. Raise them up. Keep them high. Keep them high. And again, in your heart, you're reaching out for your Savior. You're reaching out to that light at the end of the tunnel, asking for help, asking for hope. Okay, you can put your hands down. And I want you to keep your heads bowed for a moment. I did this last hour, and I want to give you an opportunity as well. I also know in a room like this, there's a lot of people who consider themselves Christians. A lot of people who've been walking with Jesus. And there's a chance you are living in a dark moment right now. There's a chance you're struggling and maybe your picture has shifted. If that's you, I want to give you a chance to reach out to your Savior. I want to give you a chance to reach out to your Heavenly Father. So again, with heads bowed and with eyes closed, if you today would say, I need His help. I need His hope. I need Him to guide me through whatever darkness I'm walking in. When I count to three, I want you to raise your hand. And let it be the beginning of you committing to take the steps you need to take to follow Him wherever He wants to lead. Ready? One, two, three. Just lift them up. Just reach your hands out to Jesus. Just say, Father, please help me. Please guide me. Please show me your steps. Please give me the wisdom to see and the courage to move towards your light. Amen, amen. You can put your hands down. And you can just look at me very quickly. As we close today, we're going to sing a song. And the song is appropriately titled, God is Love. And as we sing this song, whether you find yourself in darkness or not, my prayer is that you'll invite the Holy Spirit. Every word you sing, if it sounds foreign, if it sounds strange, if it sounds different, may it be written on your hearts as truth. That the God we're singing about, the God we're learning about, that's who God is. And He loves you. And when you hurt, He hurts. And He desperately wants to be the light at the end of the tunnel. He invites you to follow, to step into the light, to walk in hope, and to receive His help. That's the proper picture. And so as we sing, if our picture doesn't match that picture, let's give the Holy Spirit permission to change our minds. Let's pray. Father, we love You so much. And we are so, so grateful for Your Son, the perfect picture of who You are. God, in our hurting, in our hopelessness, may we run to You. May we run to the light. Because we know that Your light leads. The wisdom to know and the courage to take the path You've set before us. We love You. It's in Your Son's amazing holy name we pray. Amen.